Driving up Highway 61, just after you enter Cook County, a large blue smokestack structure emerges along the shore of Lake Superior that may seem out of place in such a remote area. There's a sign nearby denoting the water access for Taconite Harbor, but as you continue down the road, there's no town by that name to be found. That's because the last house was moved out of the town of Taconite Harbor over 25 years ago. But for the few decades it was around, it left a lasting impression on the people of Cook County's West End. Taconite Harbor was erected in the mid-1950s to serve as housing for the workers of a new Erie Mining taconite loading dock and coal plant on the shore of Lake Superior. It was part of a massive project starting with a taconite processing plant up in Hoyt Lakes, Minnesota, and an adjoining 74-mile railroad to transport pellets to boats on the Great Lakes chain. The coal plant on site sent power back to Hoyt Lakes and throughout Cook County. Jim Schmidt worked there for nearly a decade and was growing up right as the town was being constructed.
Actually, I moved in there like 1954, 1955, and we moved into a trailer, an 8x24 trailer, which there was several hundred of those, and that's what the people who were constructing the mining or the harbor there, that's where everybody lived. My dad was the supervisor of the trailer park.
Skip Lamb was in middle school at the time of the construction. He remembers the size of the workforce it took to build the plant and dig the harbor.
And so they had 600-700 men that were living there, that were working construction, and so they had to build housing for the permanent employees that were scheduled to run both the power plant and the ore dock and the railroad. Considering there really wasn't any housing, the company decided to build a town.
The town itself had 24 new homes, mostly owned by families who worked for Erie Mining. Schmidt and Lamb recall the early days of Taconite Harbor as a wonderful time to be a kid. Their descriptions evoke a type of idyllic small town often associated with the era.
Everybody knew everybody. All the kids grew up together. We played together. We used to have block parties. It was just a very close-knit. Neighbor's dog would come in the house, and it was, you know, you thought nothing of it.
All of the kids that grew up there loved their place where they grew up. Got great memories of the ball field and fishing up the Two Island River and just hanging out as a kid. And you didn't have to go home. You just had to stay in the town site. You know, there was no curfews. If it got dark, well, the mother had to find you, but you really had the neighbors. And
across the highway, we had Tarzan swings. It was just a great place for kids to grow up.
A true boom town. It was considered the biggest building project ever in Cook County, the whole endeavor costing around $300 million. In 1957, taconite operations started, and the lakeshore facility was promised to transport over 7 million tons of pellets a year. Its most notable feature was the loop of train tracks and mechanism that allowed for a very speedy exchange of pellets from rail to boat. The train didn't even have to stop to unload.
The ideal dumping was 7 miles an hour. It was an innovative engineering feat. The bottoms just opened and the pellets then went down into the bins. So it was really then, as well as now, the fastest loading boat. Total turnaround time from when they pulled in to when they left was maybe 4 or 5 hours, and that's fabulous compared to going to Duluth and getting loaded and getting a pilot boat to take you in and out of the harbor.
One of the most memorable aspects of the community happened when the taconite was being transported, either down the railroad or onto ore boats. It resulted in a big cloud of dust sweeping over the area.
So the local mothers would have to get out and dads would have to get out and wash off the house. And they'd have to run out and get their laundry off the clothesline. I mean, if the train was coming, there was total panic.
Lamb was living in Schroeder while the taconite shipping was in full swing. He ran his father's grocery store, and the men on the lake freighters hauling taconite were some of his most important customers.
My job was to deliver groceries to the cook, and then make sure that the captain was happy so he would give the cook permission to buy the groceries. There's a little altar on the side of the dock, so if we would maybe have 100 quarts of milk and a half a side of beef, and so we would have to cut all that up and then wheel it down the altar, which we made a special cart that just went on the altar. It was about 3 feet wide, but usually the hardest part of the job was to catch the cables when the boats came in, because they would send a guy over the side on the the pilot chair, and then he would drop down, but the cables were so heavy it usually took a couple of men to pull them up out of the water and get them over the anchors so the boats could get tied up and then winch themselves into the dock.
Schmidt, meanwhile, worked right in the middle of the action every day.
I started working at Erie Mining after I got out of college in 1973. I started, and I worked on the coal pile and unloading coal boats with the heavy equipment, and that's what I did for about 10 years there. Wages were very good for that time, and the benefits were next to none. It was a very good job.
For the majority of its duration, the Erie Mining Facility was successful. It quickly upped its output to over 10 million tons a year, hitting milestones of 100 million tons in 1970 and 200 million in 1981. But soon after that, things began to deteriorate for taconite production in northern Minnesota, as it did in Silver Bay and all over the Great Lakes region.
I started laying people off in the 80s, 81, around that era, and they gave you an opportunity when they laid you off. You could either go to retraining, or you could go up to Hoyt Lakes, transfer up there, and continue working in the mines up there. A lot of us took retraining, and a lot of them moved up to Hoyt Lakes. I went to retraining, and I went into electrical line worker.
Even after layoffs and employees began to leave, the physical town of Taconite Harbor persisted. This created an unusual and for some golden opportunity to find housing in Cook County. Diane Booth worked for the Forest Service at the time, and her family was able to live there without any connection to the declining taconite industry.
I think we moved there the spring of 1983. It's pretty small. And we were there 5 years, and we left the spring of 1988. We were the last people out.
And even in the twilight years of Taconite Harbor, she was able to feel the closeness of the community.
It was a great place to come to Cook County and have a low rent. We paid $150 a month for a three-bedroom house, full basement and garage. It was awesome. And there were a lot of families who were just starting out or were older people. You know, it was a great place. You talk about low-cost housing. It was perfect. It's too bad they got rid of it. I mean, we had a skating rink for the kids, but they had a baseball field there. The kids at night would get on their bicycles, and everybody knew everybody.
Then in 1986, it was announced the remaining residents would be evicted, and the houses eventually moved.
For the newer non-mining industry residents, there was some confusion over what was happening.
At that point, and I don't think any of them were true, but people were saying, oh, it's because you notice at night the big black stuff coming out of the smokestacks from the plant, and they should have scrubbers on, and they aren't. And, you know, we talked about, oh, maybe it's because there's boron in the water, or, you know, we kept talking about that, but nobody knew.
The reason they shut the housing down, I believe, if I remember right, is they had to maintain the water system and the sewage treatment plant and everything, and it just wasn't feasible for them anymore.
Well, we needed a housing authority that really had the authority to run a housing project, and we just didn't quite have that. We put together a package that would have kind of put those homes back on the market, but it just didn't work. I mean, packaged sewer plants at that time were like way out of the box for local understanding or at least local acceptance. And the company decided to buy the homes, and then they wanted to shut down the town site. And the company tried to help us do that, but their main goal was to move out of the town site. So they wanted to just turn that town site over to somebody else, a government entity, somebody that would take it. That was the initiative that didn't make it. They did move the houses away, and so now we just have the town site there.
They gave us kind of a year's notice, and most people were either moving to other parts in the United States, or were moving to Lake County, and we just didn't have a plan because we had jobs up here and our daughter was in school and we couldn't find any place to rent. So we just told them, can we just stay here till spring and we'll continue looking? And they were kind enough to let us stay.
Diana and her family leaving would close the book on the population centered in Taconite Harbor. During her time there, Erie Mining was absorbed by LTV Steel Mining. Though LTV would in turn file for bankruptcy, the Shoreline facility remained in operation until 2001, even without the nearby community of workers.
The last of the houses was moved in 1990, and many of them ended up in Silver Bay. Booth remembers what it was like being among the last out of Tack Harbor.
It was kind of strange, actually. We were talking about that not too long ago. I remember taking a walk, like, the last week, and the three of us, my husband, myself, and our daughter, just kind of walked the streets, you know, and nobody else was there. And it was really strange because there were a lot of families who really lived there.
Well, it felt terrible. You know, we knew all the families. They were part of our life. They were part of our everyday events. And in all of those, a lot of those families still have roots here. They moved to Silver Bay, where housing was number one available and relatively inexpensive.
We ended up renting a home in Lutzen. And we just managed to get in there, but the rent was like three times what we were used to paying, and it was like, oh my gosh. The fact that we are now looking for low-income housing, and we really had it, and had we had the foresight to save it, I mean, what a great place for people to start out.
Well, that's the issue to this day, is, you know, there's no housing in the county, you know, so it was a very good place to live or rent.
Despite the LTV coal plant having a resurgence in the late 2000s under Minnesota Power, that operation, too, was idled last year. Now there are no houses and no operations going on at the iconic plant. The former town site of Taconite Harbor is now overtaken by the woods along Superior's shore. But one thing that time and industry cannot eliminate is its legacy.
Everybody was a real close-knit community, and I think that was what really was special about it. Even to this day, the families are still friends. I still have best friends that I grew up with there. So, yeah, it was just... And we still do have reunions. We just had one in Schroeder here this summer that was part of that. So,
I did go back there about 2 years ago just to see what was left because I had a lot of plantings. I had lilacs in it. And some of my plantings are still there. They're still, you can still see some of that stuff. I think there was a flowering crabapple from our yard that was still there. And you know, the roads are kind of in bad condition, but you can kind of still see, and I can still count where the neighbors are, you know, which neighbors were where. It's kind of interesting.
I didn't live in Taconite Harbor. I always wanted to live in Taconite Harbor, and Linda wanted to live there. Everybody wanted to live in Taconite Harbor. I mean, we wanted to go trick-or-treat at Taconite Harbor. I mean, that was the place where it was happening. Just like the taconite industry, it's boom or bust. It's all of a sudden you've got all kinds of people doing all kinds of jobs and business, and then all of a sudden you've kind of like hit the bottom and, oh, what are we going to do now? So you got to retool and figure out something else. I mean, the vacation lasted 35 years.
You can find more about the town of Taconite Harbor from the Cross River Heritage Post in Schroeder, Minnesota. For WTIP, I'm Will Moore. The Lake Superior Project is a production of WTIP Community Radio on the north shore of Lake Superior. Support for this series comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For more information, you can visit WTIP.org/Lake Superior Project.